He found pieces of flint or chert in a ditch, but in the end, it was easier to rake the pliers down the side of a rock at the bottom of which he'd made a pile of tinder soaked in gas. 2 more days, then 3. They were starving right enough. The country was looted, ransacked, ravaged, rifled of every crumb. The nights were blinding cold and casket black, and the long reach of the morning had a terrible silence to it, like a dawn before battle. The boy's candle-colored skin was all but translucent. With his great staring eyes, he'd the look of an alien. He was beginning to think that death was finally upon them, and that they should find some place to hide where they wouldn't be found. There were times when he sat watching the boy sleep that he'd begin to sob uncontrollably. But it wasn't about death. He wasn't sure what it was about. But he thought it was about beauty or about goodness. Things that he'd no longer any way to think about at all. They squatted in a bleak wood and drank ditch water strained through a rag. He'd seen the boy in a dream, laid out upon a cooling board, and woke in horror. What he could bear in the waking world, he could not by night, and he sat awake for fear the dream would come again. They scrabbled through the charred ruins of houses they wouldn't have entered before, a corpse floating in the black water of a basement among the trash and rusting ductwork. He stood in a living room, partly burned and open to the sky, the water-buckled boards sloping away into the yard, soggy volumes in a bookcase. He took one down and opened it, and then put it back. Everything damp, rotting. In a drawer, he found a candle, no way to light it. He put it in his pocket. He walked out in the gray light and stood, and he saw for a brief moment the absolute truth of the world. The cold, relentless circling of the intestate earth, darkness implacable, the blind dogs of the sun in their running, the crushing black vacuum of the universe. And somewhere, 2 hunted animals, trembling like ground foxes in their cover, borrowed time and borrowed world and borrowed eyes with which to sorrow them. At the edge of a small town, they sat in the cab of a truck to rest, staring out a glass washed clean by the recent rains, a light dusting of ash, exhausted. By the roadside stood another sign that warned of death, the letters faded with the years. He almost smiled. "Can you read that?" he said.
"Yes."
"Don't pay any attention. There's no one here."
"Are they dead?"
"I think so."
"I wish that little boy was with us."
"Let's go," he said. Rich dreams now that he was loath to wake from. Things no longer known in the world. The cold drove him forth to mend the fire. Memory of her crossing the lawn toward the house in the early morning in a thin rose gown that clung to her breasts. He thought each memory recalled must do some violence to its origins, as in a party game. Say the word and pass it on, so be sparing. What you alter in the remembering has yet a reality, known or not. They walked through the streets, wrapped in the filthy blankets. He held the pistol at his waist and held the boy by the hand. At the farther edge of the town, they came upon a solitary house in a field, and they crossed and entered and walked through the rooms. They came upon themselves in a mirror, and he almost raised the pistol.
"It's us, Papa," the boy whispered. "It's us.